for the most part, directed to a garden, which is the Lord's own garden, and the biblical figure, of course, would be from the Song of Solomon. And where the Lord comes into his garden, and all sorts of things, of lovely things, are said there. And it's so wonderfully true that when we come together, beloved, we should be like that. Every one of us. But the Lord also did, you will remember, draw attention to the fact that there were, and purposed to draw our attention to it, of course, such things as lilies of the field. And he purposely drew our attention to these things. Behold the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil, he said. They don't do anything like that. He said, but I want you to look at them. I want you to look at the lilies of the field. They're not specially tended in a garden. They're not cultivated. They would be called wild. And they depend entirely, of course, for their existence and subsistence, or whatever you want to say, upon the Lord. Because nobody does anything for them at all. And he said, you're to behold the lilies of the field, how they grow. It's a marvellous thing about them. They wouldn't be there if they hadn't grown. And he said, you ought to see how they grow. And what a tremendous thing this is, beloved. And it was in keeping with this, and in line with this, of course, that the Lord told us that we were to be completely careless. We weren't to care anything about this or that or the other. And from this, he taught us the carefree life. That's right. Of course, we all do love the thought of a gloriously cultivated garden, where flowers undoubtedly are brought to perfection. And it's true, and there is this great thought of perfection in it. This is the idea of the world in God. But, beloved, the thought of complete carelessness, of being utterly abandoned, not being planted in a nice border, or growing in nice company, but right out there in the field. And I suppose one of the tragedies of growing in a field is that you're likely to get trampled on by a cow or something. That's right. It sounds funny, but it's right. You don't allow cows to wander around your garden. You don't have bears and lions and hard human beings trampling on you in a garden. You notice is keep off the grass. It's only a field if it's grass outside, but in the garden it's a lawn. Keep off it, you tell. That's right. But if you're going to really learn to be a flower, as the Lord wants you to be a flower, you've got to be hardy as well as cultivated. You've got to learn to be trodden on. You've got to learn to spring up unnoticed. Mostly flowers in the field are never noticed. If Jesus drew their attention to it. In a garden, they're on show. They say, come and see my beautiful azaleas. Come and look at my wonderful wallflowers. And so on and so on and so on. But out in the field, nobody bothers. And this, I'm sure, is in keeping with what the Lord told us through our sister, that the most fragrant prayer that ever came from the Lord Jesus was when he was sweating blood. The sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Not with nice, gentle rain falling on him from a watering can, or soft dew forming overnight, but when he was sweating out his last, shall I say, line of objection, if I may put it that way, if this word objection may be used, that he did have a will of his own, and he could have chosen, objected to the cross. He could have done, but he didn't. And this is the wonderful thing. And so on, beloved, in all this great realm of life. You see? Let's turn to another figure in the Song of Solomon. That was in Matthew, I didn't bother, because you know that story so well, that truth so well. But in the great Song of Solomon, and in the second chapter, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Now, you listen to what the Lord Jesus says about you in verse 2. As the lily among thorns. You see there? Are you a lily among thorns? Of course, you can easily be a lily in the company of all the other lilies. We're going to be a room full of lilies this morning. But I'm afraid we might be Lilliputians. This is the root trouble. The lily among thorns. What a place to grow lilies. But that's where the Lord grows them. Among thorns. But what a contrast. You can't mistake them, can you? You can't mistake them. Lilies among thorns. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As a matter of fact, it's a good place to grow lilies because it rather tends to keep people off from picking them. They're the Lord's choice plant, where his wonderful hand in the Spirit can come and pluck his nosegay as he will. And that's entirely up to him. If a lily can grow among thorns, I'll guarantee it'll be the strongest lily that you'd find. And can a lily be strong to overcome that? Yes. And see how the Lord wants us to think, beloved. He's speaking in the first verse. He says, I, do you know who I am? Do you think I'm the choicest flower in God's garden? Listen, he says, I'm the lily of the valley. That's who I am. I'm the rose of Sharon. That's what he says. You see? And this is the same thought. Behold the lilies of the field, he said, as they stretch through the lovely valleys. There they are. He said, now you ought to be like that. What the Lord Jesus is doing really is calling us into a likeness to himself. A likeness to himself as a lone individual among men. For that's what he was. We want to have a likeness to himself in the church, you see. But oh, beloved, in the lone, lone places amongst men, that's where he really wants to see us like himself. He says, I was a lily of the valley. I knew what it was to be just one amongst many. Even amongst his disciples, he was just one on his own. No, beloved, in this sense, you ought to be like that. Where the briars are, and you know that the thorns are the symbol of the curse. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth, this earth. So down here, not where the blessings are, but where the curses are you like in there? Because if you each rise up this morning and lay your hands on me and bless me most profusely, it's quite easy, there'll be a lily, isn't it? You see. But if you all rose up and cursed me, you see, and I found you to be oh so different from what I was inside, what would I do then? You see, and the thing about a lily, beloved, is it has no legs, it can't run away. In place of legs, it has roots. They fix it to the spot. So it has to stay and continue to be a lily among thorns. What a wonderful thing. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, he was a lily among thorns. When the thorns were pushed on his head, he was still a lily. In fact, I think we'll agree that he was the sweetest lily of all then. And this is so wonderful, beloved, to be like that. In fact, this is the whole of the picture here. You get in verse 3. This is the bride talking. That was the bridegroom, Jesus, talking in verses 1 and 2. But in verse 3, it's the answer of the bride. And she says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood. There you are, you see. Not as that lovely Cox's orange pippin that I've had planted at the bottom of my garden. The prize and joy and delight of everybody that comes, you see, sprayed with nice spray and doctored up and so on and so on and so on. I know that's really the orange tree that's in mind here, but never mind. The great thing is this wonderful thing. Let's keep it in the figure that we understand. The apple tree amongst the trees of the wood. Well, I mean, the trees of the wood, you've got all sorts of things there, oaks and ash, or if you like to think in the eastern terms, you've got cedar, you've got all these towering great trees, and absolutely dwarfs this apple tree amongst the trees of the wood. You see? But she says, that's what my beloved's like. You see? She says, I sat down under his shadow with great delight. Actually, the construction of the Hebrew here is very wonderful. It's the spontaneity of it. I delighted and sat down. That's really what she says. I delighted and sat down, wandering amongst all the trees of the wood. You see? She comes across this wonderful this apple tree, delights at it, sits down under it. This is the whole picture of it that the Lord is saying, and it's coming through the inspiration of the Spirit to show us, beloved, what it's really all about. You see? Not here for his might or majesty or strength. You've got the majestic cedar. You have all the other things that you can think about. The tough oak and boom, you can go right on. You've got the acacia wood that the ark was made of. And so on. Great, strong, enduring wood. But no, what she was looking for was fruit. And what Jesus is looking for is beauty and fragrance. You see, she was looking for fruit. And she just sits down, delighting at it. At last, she's come to what she wants. Now, how different this is then from what sometimes we like to think. There is the other picture in this Song of Solomon of the garden. The Lord himself says it. Actually, he says it in verse 12 of chapter 4, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Wonderful. In verse 15 he says she's a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, streams from Lebanon, and so on. This is the way the Lord speaks of us. But oh beloved, he also thinks of us as the lily among thorns. Praise his wonderful name. And this is a wonderful truth. Let's carry it over into the book of Hosea, shall we? Having said it, I've got to find it now. Hosea, it should be here, that's right. In the last chapter of Hosea, you'll get this great thing that the Lord is saying. In the last chapter, verse 4, I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel, and he shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. I tell you, what a lily this is. Grow as a lily and have roots like cedar trees. My word. This is the way the Lord starts to speak. Ever seen the roots of a cedar tree? My. All right. His branch shall spread, his beauty shall be as an olive tree, his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return, they shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine, the scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Praise God. You shall grow as the lily. Is that right? Of course, you see, the real thing about a lily is this, beloved. You see its beauty. I know it doesn't mean just the lily as we think of lilies in our country. But the thing about it is that all that it has, it grows. If you see a lily, if you think of an English lily, and you say, now where did it get this glorious beauty from, this absolute purity, is great. Oh, but didn't someone come along and give it? No, nobody gave it anything. It just grew it. That's the thing. We're always thinking, beloved, in terms of things being given to us and put on us and so on and so on. And this is a right thing as we read scripture, but you and I have got to see that if this life has really been given to us, beloved, we've got to grow it, and it unfolds from the center of us, unfolds in the very heart of us. Amen. you are growing your own beauty. The Lord said that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Yes. Because all Solomon's glory was put on. I don't mean it was a mask, but it was put on. You see. But with a lily, oh hallelujah, it doesn't toil, it doesn't spin, it doesn't do anything, it just grows. Oh, may we learn this lesson, brother. To grow your own beauty. When you think that through, it will explain a lot. You are what you are in heart, really. It's all coming from inside you, beloved. Hallelujah. What people see on the outside, that is the tones they hear, the full impact, image, picture of your life. It isn't something that you put on in a meeting. It's something that's coming from inside. You're growing it. What's more, you're growing in it stronger and stronger every day too. Whatever it is, that's what you're growing in. That's right. And it will grow on you. This is what people say about habits. Stop that, it'll grow on you. Does too. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to grow the habits of Jesus. I want to grow the sweetness and the likeness of Him. He says, I'm just a lily of the valley. What I am, I've grown. That's right. That's your word in your Bible. It says he grew in grace. He grew in it. He grew in it. So that by the time he was 30, he says, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hey, he'd grown in it for 30 years. Grown in it. We beheld his glory. But he'd grown in it. Hallelujah. So that now we talk about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. You see? Hallelujah. Now you're growing in it, beloved. You're growing. And the Lord wants us to see this most clearly. And he wants us to be really lilies. And as we come together in a morning meeting like this, or some other time when we come together, we're like a garden full of it all. So that we can fulfill all the pictures of the scripture. We're like a garden where the Lord comes and he does move among us. It's all so wonderful. And out there, you've got to be a lily among the thorns. Praise the name of the Lord. And it's going to be wonderful. And you're not going to worry whether you're going among thorns or whether some great big four-footed animal or a two-legged one comes and crushes you. Sees no beauty in you at all. Don't think you're anything. It doesn't matter about that. As long as to the heart of the Lord Jesus you are perfect. Right. As long as you're pleasing him, as long as Father can see that you're getting more and more like him and growing in all these beauties and graces. And that's what life's for. You've got plenty of opportunity. And opportunities for these things do not come in carefully tended borders. They come out there where you're one lily in the midst of a great thicket of thorns. That's where it really comes. Amen. And if you've got strength and power to be a lily there, one of these days he'll transplant you to his heavenly border. You'll be one of the most vigorous plants there. And that'll be wonderful. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think I've said all that's on my heart. Let's pray, shall we, beloved?